Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse. But I know I'll see your face again. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse. But I know.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Swans Big Footy Podcast. My name is Bonds and joining me today is Punts.
How are you guys?
And Swans Rule 100.
Welcome.
Now we're coming off an incredibly exciting 50-point win over Essendon that I think brought a smile to most fans' faces. Swans Rule, do you want to take us away?
Look, there's only one team almost comparable to beating Hawthorn, and that's Essendon. So to beat them consecutive weeks is very exciting. That first quarter was that was exceptional, that first quarter. And yeah, 7-1, such a contrast to the kicking the week before. And the midfielders kicking goals again, which I think is Tippett's inclusions led a bit to that. The standouts to me, probably Buddy with 5, and I thought he had Hurley spooked. Hanbury keeps his good form up. Kennedy, to me, almost has gone into that second behind Ablett position just about. I think you can make a reasonable case for how he's travelling at the moment. Grundy in the last 5 weeks has been exceptional. And Derek's, what about that mark and goal? Like, who saw that coming?
Oh, the 50-metre goal. I'm not going to lie. I've insulted Derek's a fair bit on the forums and in real life, but he surprised me on the weekend.
He went to kick that, and I was like, you goal. Like, it was, yeah,
I lost it. I lost it when he kicked that. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we weren't going to lose.
But when you got Derek slotting goals from 50 metres out, you're not losing. No run-up, he kicked it off a single step.
Off one step.
Yeah. But he tried to emulate Jeremy Howe a few times after he took that stellar mark. But the only other one I'd mention, I mean, there weren't any weak links, but Luke Parker, like, he's young, but he's just so strong, and he's classy. I think he's... Right. People are only starting to notice him outside of the Swans group now, but I think he's almost going to end up being the best of that midfield group when they all retire, you know, and there's some talent in there.
The brilliant thing about our midfield group is they're all relatively young. Jack's only 26, Kennedy's 25, Bird's 25. Apart from McVay, who's 28, the midfield group should be around for a few more years.
That's it.
And Parker's only 20, which is ridiculous.
Crazy. The only negatives probably were Goodsy again. I'm worried, is that knee still troubling him, or was the last 4 weeks like his pre-season, and we'll see a bit more after the bye. I thought, even though he was only the sub, I didn't think Brandon Jack looked as good as he had in other games, and Sam Reed could still get a bit more of the ball, would make me happy, but I can see him developing as the season goes now he's back in the team. But yeah, I'm just a bit concerned about Goodsy and going forward in the short term. It's definitely his last year, I would have thought.
I'm not too concerned about Goods. He seems to start off matches fine, and then he's getting tired very quickly. I think that just might be an endurance thing because he didn't really have a huge preseason.
Oh, look, I hope no Essendon fans listen to this, but I'm going to say now that the free kicks he got were pretty ridiculous. Like, he was pretty lucky to get that goal, and the stats probably flatter him a bit. What did he get, like 7 disposals?
7 disposals and a goal assist.
So he was lucky to get them, to be honest. He had no impact for mine.
Look, I'm not too worried about Woods right now. I mean, he's going to be taking the fourth defender nearly, and he's almost worth having on the field just for his leadership. I think he'll get a lot better in the second half of the year.
Yeah, he's going to have to, because if Gary Rowan's hitting form and Tom Mitchell and stuff, I know they're not likes for likes, but you can't carry someone who looks a bit lost in the forward line, even if they are a champion. I'm not writing him off. I know what you're saying. I'm sure he'll be fine, but it's just a little concerning to me if that knee's ever going to be right to getting back to where he can be.
Okay, then. Swans Rule, do you want to have a bit of a bet on this?
Yeah, what do you want to bet?
I'm not sure, but I believe he's going to get at least 15 disposals against Geelong next week.
No way. He won't get more than 10.
Okay, so you want to go 12 in a common line?
Yeah, okay, 12.
And whoever wins gets control of the other signature for a week.
Yeah, why not? I don't mind. We'll go with that.
Done. Punts, you're our witness, and so are the listeners. Now, Punts, you may as well give us your views on the match.
Yeah, well, we started off very well, 7-1 in the first quarter. I think led by McVay. He kicked a couple of brilliant goals from one from outside 50 that I don't know if he asked it, but it was a beautiful kick. I thought Buddy started well. Buddy playing a little bit higher up, and he also set up that goal for McVay straight in front. That was his kicking the other night was pretty spot on, Buddy. Considering
his field kicking all year has been brilliant.
Yeah, his field kicking is really spot on. I thought Tippett's first half was a bit quiet. I actually thought Hooker
did
done a pretty
good
job. Yeah, he done a good job. He was mauling him, but he's going to cop that every week. So regardless, he's going to have to deal with that. Second half, he got off a little bit and kicked a couple of goals. I thought Craig Bird's game was good. He pushed forward, kicked a goal. I also thought Harry Cunningham touched up Stanton. Stanton might have got 20-odd possessions, but they were shit house possession, so I thought Harry Cunningham done another good job, and I presume the coaches would be very happy with the way he's going. I think the more the more games he gets, the more of the ball he'll find also, so I think he'll only get better. I also thought Lloyd was good. He got 20 possessions. He uses the ball pretty well, Lloyd, so that's another young kid that's coming up looking good. Rampy's goal from 70-odd metres was...
he really ramped it up.
Yeah, that was he definitely ramped it up. That was a beauty, that one. And also Grundy. I reckon Grundy, Richards. I reckon the whole back line as a group are starting to... they're a lot better than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think they're starting to gel a bit more. Also,
I really agree with that. I think the biggest inclusion that we've had to our back line this year, Layla's been fantastic. I never realised just how vocal he is in defence as well. He almost marshals them at times, which is fantastic.
Yeah, well,
he's become a bit of a leader in the back line.
When I was surprised with that, when I did see pre-season training, how much he was actually pointing, directing players, which was obviously good to see. So, but he's pretty tough lad. He goes back with the flight. He's got some courage. It was a few times, probably about 3 or 4 times on the weekend where he went back with the flight. He's not scared, and that's what you want. That's probably the difference between him and Everett. I know they're roughly sort of playing the same role, but he defends. He defends a lot better than Everett does, and I think he's been really good.
One second.
Let Rampy get off the leash a little bit too. Pretty much all the half backs now were really playing well, and you know, I mean, if Malcheski doesn't get you, Rampy might get you, Shaw might get you, and Laidler just does his job without a fuss.
Yeah, once again, thank you, Malthouse, for Laidler. Really appreciate it.
Did you guys see on Footy Classified? I don't know if you guys watched that crap. During the week, Craig Hutchison said that he thinks the Swans' defence is the Achilles' heel, and it's a pretty weak defence, which I actually was a bit stunned by, to be honest, given what we were just talking about.
At the start of the year, it may have been, because we were worried about Ted Richards' form and everything, but they seem to have really gelled, and Richards is back up and going now.
But I would say at the start of the year, if anything, they stopped us from being an even bigger embarrassment than anything else that defence...
Yeah.
I think they've actually been good all year. They're criminally underrated. I mean, to me, Grundy, and you two might correct me because I've probably been one eye, Grundy's an All-Australian contender at the moment.
I'd have to agree with that. I think he'd be right there, up there for fullback of the year.
Yep, and if Nick Smith's not a lock in the back pocket right now, then I just don't know anything about football.
Nick Smith should be a lock in the back pocket, but he won't get it. Too common.
And Grundy won't be an All-Australian either. As much as he's in terrific form, and I mentioned it, saying that I think he should be, but I bet you he doesn't. It'll be your Scott Thompsons, it'll be your hookers,
Harry
Taylor. I mean?
So, yeah, that's fine. I just think I don't think it's crazy to suggest he's a chance.
Definitely not. Not the last couple of weeks. I still think Grundy and Richards is the best partnership going around, and it has been for a while now. As you said, they've all sort of, everybody's just doing their role now, and they've all started clicking. You've got to remember, Labor, first year at the club, might have taken a little bit longer. Rampy's development. I just think it's taken a few games to get rolling, but there's no doubt they're on the improve, surely.
One player I do want to actually bring up with you guys, and Swans were all touched on this beforehand, was Josh Kennedy. He's polled in the last 7 weeks of the Coaches Association voting and has now gone up to number 2 overall behind Ablett. even ahead of the likes of Pendlebury, who seem to be talked up every single week of the season. Is it too out there to say that he's in career best form, even better form than he was in 2012?
No way. I mean, what's the average of 31 disposals a game? 32?
32 at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and Pendlebury, who I think is absolute class and stuff, and averages 28 or something. I know it's not just all about stats, but the percentage of possessions that Kennedy gets that are contested, so he's just in the middle, winning it himself, is outstanding. And like he gets the amount of contested possessions that other players would be happy just to get his total possessions for a game. It's ridiculous. You can't tackle him. He's so strong, and he's... ability to hit the scoreboard. I mean, it's down a little bit overall for the year, but I think he's getting that back. And he's a tackling machine. I can't believe that Hawthorn people still say, oh, he wouldn't even get a game in our team. That's crazy. I think he's second in the Brownlow for mine at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If there's one knock on Josh Kennedy, and there's not many, it's his stab kicks. He always tries to really stab it and try and drill it into the other player, but other than that, there's not much. He's definitely the best contested player in the league by an absolute country mile.
I really rate Job Watson, and I see them as the two similar types in the AFL, the premier contested players, and I think Kennedy has snuck past Watson in terms of where they are in their careers right now. I think
definitely,
I really rate Watson.
The thing is, Kennedy's 25. I think we forget how... It seems like he's been around for a while, Kennedy, but he's 20. He's obviously 26 this year, but still, 26. He's still got, you know, well, however many years left in him, but he can only get better, surely.
Yep. You've got to credit the form of others to him slightly, like Hanbury, Parker, Jack, McVeigh. They feed off the work that he does in the middle. He's a beast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What do you think, Bonds?
In all honesty, I think it's kind of scary. He's going to get even better when he's 27, 28 years of age. Give him a few more years. It's kind of a shame, because if Ablett hadn't been so dominant this season, he'd almost be Brownlow favourite right now. He'd have to be.
Well, the way Ablett's votes go, he'd probably win it anyway, because Ablett seems criminally underrated by the umpires. He should have about 6 Brownlow, so Kennedy's a pretty good chance anyway.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what happens at the end of the year, but I'm just glad that we got Kennedy on our team and he isn't playing for Hawthorn.
Yeah. They'd love to have him. I'd love to have him back, 26 years old, and they've got an aging midfielder, to be honest. And, really, who have they got coming up that's Josh Kennedy-like? None that I can see. I really care about it.
But I guess on the flip side, they won a flag after he left, and who's to say he would have been the same player at Hawthorn that he is at Sydney? I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Luke Bruce.
How do you guys see Hawthorn actually going for the rest of the year? They've got a fair few injuries now, and they've got a pretty tough run home. I mean, they're playing the likes of us again, Port Adelaide, Fremantle away.
Who gives a shit?
Geelong. Is it only me, or do you guys think that they're a chance to even miss the top four altogether with these injuries?
No, I would still back them as the closest to being locks in the top four. I don't think the injuries are going to hurt as much as people might hope. And just look, I only had a flick through their draw. There's too much quality in that side. I don't think they'll win the flag, but...
Yeah, it just depends. It just depends if their players have setbacks. You know, being the age they are, Mitchell, 32, hamstrings.
Yeah.
Whether they can get them back and fit and fire them for finals when they're going to need them. I still reckon they've got enough talent to definitely make the top four. I can't see them dropping games where they probably shouldn't drop or anything like that. They're still a very good side.
They're a ruthless side. They don't let shit teams get near them. They'll just step on their throats, which is probably a weakness of ours at times. We could have crushed Essendon by 100 if we really put in, if we're going to be super critical, whereas Hawthorn probably would have gone on and done the job. But I think Hawthorn will be, if their injuries stick around, they'll be more of a concern in the finals rather than getting to top four, given where they are and what they've got to come, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. But I think this is their last year to win a flag with that list.
Okay, then, if you guys think Hawthorn are a lot, Port Adelaide?
Yes.
Yep.
They'll make top four. And don't be surprised if they finish in the top one or two. I think they've got a pretty good draw, Port Adelaide. And the way they're playing, you almost go to Adelaide Oval, and you almost tick it down as a loss at the moment by looking at them. It's almost Geelong's advantage. The way they're going, they're just smashing teams there. Absolutely smashing teams. Talk about putting them, like, you know, to beat Geelong by nearly 10 goals. You know, I mean, it's not just a coincidence. They're absolutely smashing teams there. So it's going to be one of them grounds where I don't think you'd be happy being on the plane going over. I think they'll definitely make the top four, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make top two. And if they make top two, they'll probably make the, I reckon I'd say they'd make the grand final, because I don't see them losing in Adelaide.
Okay,
I would be surprised if Ken Hinckley doesn't end up a premiership coach with that list, where they're at and how they're going.
He's done a brilliant job with them. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're the second youngest team to GWS, aren't they?
Third youngest, I think. Oh, something like that, though. Something ridiculous.
Yeah, something ridiculous. And the way they've changed from 2 years ago, and they said there's 16 players in that side at the moment that are playing, that played 2 years ago. So
that's the thing. And people ride off Brisbane now, and they are a basket case, but it can turn so quick if you get the right people in around the traps.
And the funny thing is, I think Port Adelaide have just got a good run. They're getting Hawthorn now with injuries, and at home they got Geelong at home with a few injuries. They've had a pretty good run the last 2 years with injuries. It's just all, you know, it's just when you see clubs where it all sort of falls in their favour. I think they've just got a lot of their home games have been against top quality clubs like Hawthorn now and Geelong, and which they've obviously won and probably will win on Saturday night. Just sometimes it falls in your favour. That's taken nothing away from them, but I reckon they've got some luck on their side as well at the moment.
And okay, I mean, then they feel like with what Melbourne secured are their wins, and then they face us at the SCG, which is probably a test for them, I guess. But they're locks for mine. I think the only team I could see dropping out of that top four is Geelong, if anyone. And I think the top four's locked. Oh, maybe we're susceptible
enough
to one eye.
What about Fremantle then? They've got their next nine fixtures. It'll be a pretty big upset if they don't win them all.
I think I've been consistent since we first started the podcast and saying I don't rate Fremantle, so I'm going to stick with it. I know I'll be the minority, but I don't think they're a flag threat, and I don't think they'll finish top four.
I don't think they've got the most talented list at the moment, and they haven't been in the best form, although it looks like they may have turned it around a little bit over the last week or two. But the thing is, that fixture on the run home is so easy, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they'll drop a game you don't expect them to drop, I reckon. Like, they beat Geelong, it was probably just 300th, and they were up and about. And they match up pretty well against Geelong, but, yeah, I don't know. I think we're... The four teams in the top four now are the four best teams I've seen this year.
Okay, fair enough. Do you guys want to give a mid-season premiership prediction and reasons why?
Yeah,
just for the purposes of this exercise, we'll take Sydney out of the equation.
Take Sydney out of it?
Yes, because we all know, as One Night supporters, we're definitely tipping the Swans.
I'm going to go Port Adelaide. I'm going to say they're going to finish in the top two. They'll get two home finals, and they'll get through. And I know it's not a... They obviously have a... When you go into a grand final, you've obviously got something to lose, but they seem to play as they've got nothing to lose. They run, they're fit. If they have the same list at them, they don't get any injuries till now, till then, and they're playing the way they are. I know it's only round nine. I legitimately think they could take it out. Against the Geelong, against Hawthorn, and obviously, hopefully not against us.
So two questions on Port then, Hunts. Like last year, they started with a bang and then they lost them five in a row, and there was a bit of like the young players running out of puff. You don't see that as a potential worry this year?
No. They've got the best fitness coach in the league with that Burgess. They're obviously even fitter again this year. The way they they're running. I know it's only round 9 and you can drop off towards the back with fitness, but they absolutely run oversides. Like, just if they're in it a three-quarter time, they might as well not play the last quarter, because they just absolutely, they ran over Fremantle the other week and they took off their ruckman against Sanderlands and Clark, and they played Trengrove in the ruck, and they just run over sides. They're just that fit, and everyone, they're like, they remind me of sort of the 2000, and well, obviously we're back to it now, but they just, if you watch their numbers when they run forward, there's always about 3 or 4 poor blokes that are just streaming forward, and they're getting a lot of goals out of their midfielders as well. Like, they only play 2 talls in the forward line, which is Schultz and Westhoff, and that's their tools. Their midfielders kick goals, and they're just extremely fit. But I know they're a young list, but oh well, so were the Bombers in 2000.
Oh yeah, and the only other question mark I raise with you is, so they get the 2 home finals, get to the MCG, probably against the Victorian side potentially. Is that a factor, then, winning at the MCG for them?
Nah, I don't think so. I think Adelaide Oval's pretty big. I don't think the ground issue would be anything. And
Adelaide Oval's got really similar measurements to the MCG, yeah, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
they're only a metre or 2 in it.
Yeah, and what do they got? 55,000 members. I know it's not 80,000 members to a Collingwood, but don't worry, they'll be there. They'll have a big crowd. Ken Hinckley just seems to be a no fuss coach, and I like the way they're going about it. Port, I reckon they've sort of invented a new, not a new game plan, but they're just playing with excitement, run. They'd have to be probably the best watching team at the moment.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
On 360, Ken Hinckley was on tonight. I don't know if you guys saw, and he was like talking about that mantra of why not us, and it feels like their players really play that way. Like, why can't we win the flag? Why can't we beat Hawthorn on the weekend? Why can't we beat Geelong? And they just play. I don't know how you get to that point, but they just play with the freedom, as you say. Three-quarter time, even if they're down, they're like, well, we could, why not us? We can win this game. And they run over it.
Yeah, and that's the way they're playing. Not, like, I know you've got something to lose, but it's like they go out with nothing to lose. You know what I mean? They just play. Just good, they're just playing good footy, and I if they got into a grand final, there's no way they'd be thinking at the start of it, oh, you know, I don't think we can win this because we're the third youngest list, and you know, we're not playing at Adelaide Oval. There's no way in the world.
But yeah, and Ken Hinckley, how many jobs did he miss out on? It's just crazy. Just now you see how well he's coaching.
Yeah,
he's even got their veterans motivated at the moment with the likes of Kane Corns back in form and everything.
Well, I think they all last week. I heard Bogue saying they've all quit drinking during the year now, so they're not going to, it doesn't matter if they're on their breaks or anything like that, that they're not touching alcohol now to the end of the year, so they're pretty, I know a lot of clubs probably do that, but they're pretty, you know, they know what they, I think they know what they want.
You have to agree with that. Swans rule, do you have a prediction for this year's flag?
And I can't pick Sydney.
Look, we're going to talk about Sydney in a second, just another club.
Okay, well, yeah, just to go against the grain, I think Geelong, if it's not us. I agree with just about everything Pun said about Port Adelaide. They're exceptional to watch. But there's just something about the Geelong team, for mine, that stands up in big games. Like Tommy Hawkins, I think, can be relied upon in a final. Joel Selwood is arguably the most influential player in a game when the chips are down like that. I think it was last year, SCG basically got them in, over the line against us in that third quarter. We just turned it on. But there's not many players that can do that. Stevie J in a final, you know, they've got so many proven finals performers. That back line, Taylor, Lonigan, even Jared Rivers, even though he's from Melbourne, I think there's just so much. And Mackie, Enright, it's just a pretty hard-to-beat list. And then they got Bartell, who's cool as a cucumber in the finals. I think if you got them to the MCG on grand final day, even against a Port, a Sydney or a Hawthorn, you'd give Geelong a massive chance. So if it's not us, and I genuinely believe we can win the flag, I'll stick my neck out and say the Cats would be right up there to win it.
I actually, that was the same prediction I was going to give. Swans were, I think, if it's not us this year, I think Hawthorn are going to fall over the line. These injuries in the season, they, even if they're at this point of the year, they cost you at the end of the year as well. That's what we saw last year with us. It's too hard to keep it going for 2 years running.
Yeah, well, even the great Geelong side never won back-to-back. It's just, it's hard. You need a lot of luck.
Yeah, I'd agree. I personally, I think if it's I can see Port winning it, but right now, besides us, my favourite would probably be Geelong. I really rate them under a pressure scenario.
The only thing about Geelong, I think they need to get a second tall that actually has an influence on a game instead of Tom Hawkins, because as soon as Tommy Hawkins is taken out of the game, that's them done. They got Dawson took him out of the game on the weekend, and look what happened. He needs to have a big final series and a big game for them to win it, I think. I know Stevie Johnson and that...
They've got Walker in the VFL who dominates every week, but that's never
really
been
but he doesn't step up and do it at senior level. I just think that they rely on Tom Hawkins so much that if he doesn't have an influence on the game, they get beaten.
I guess their plan originally would be to have Vardy up there with...
Vardy would have been probably centre forward, second ruck, I guess.
Because he could play. They've just been a bit unlucky in them. Considering the injuries they've actually had, they've done well.
Well, they've got, Caddy, that it's a walk-in, walk-up start. You've got Christensen, who'll come back. Motlop's not fit yet. I hope he's not fit next week either, because he'll probably tear us a new one.
Yeah.
But as you said, on grand final day, Selwood and
even
Steve
Stokes,
Johnson.
Grand final day.
Yeah, they know how to get it done. And they all know how to get it done. The only thing was I noticed last week a little bit, I might have just been an off game, was, and I hope that I'm right, but Enright and Callie looked a bit off the pace. They got tackled and turned it over a bit, and Bartel's not having the influence that he was at the start of the year. Whether them three are maybe dropping off, it's definitely Enright's last year at 33, 34, is he?
33, I think.
Yeah, but he did do a job on Silrio a couple of weeks ago, so it might have just been a bad game from them. But I still think that I say this conversation comes up every year, but always heard it's their last year to win one. They are pretty old. Stevie Johnson, Stokes are all, 31, 32. Lonigan's 30, 31 or something. So they're starting to age, but I say that every year, and they seem to always...
They bring the kids through. They've done a good job.
And they have kids that you don't really hear of, like, as you said, Duncans and stuff like that, that just come in and do their role.
But you look at Geelong, even if you want to go back to like 89 when they made the grand final, I know they didn't win any of those four, but they haven't been down really since then. I know they've missed finals, but they've never been... I don't think they've ever been down since 1963. They haven't won a wooden spoon or something ridiculous like that. That team just consistently builds on the go, and I think they're pretty much the envy of the league in that regard. But
yeah, definitely.
So out of the three teams we've sort of highlighted, and then ourselves, do you guys see anyone else as a threat outside of that current top four for a premiership, I mean?
No, Gold Coast are a year too early, I think. Next year they're going to be a threat. This year, not quite yet.
I do. I think Collingwood.
Yeah, with their draw.
I still think with their midfield, if their midfield gets firing, they're the best midfield in the league, I think. And I know Travis Cloke's a bit off, but they've been winning games. I know they didn't win on the weekend, but they've been winning games without him doing stuff, or if they can get him going and the midfield's already going, they're going to be pretty hard. They bring that manic pressure. I reckon they could be a shot. I don't know about winning the flag, but geez, if they make top four, they'll give themselves a chance, I reckon. Especially they've got Reed to come back in that team, where he's probably one of the first picked every week, and he'll help Cloke as well, because he'll play I presume he'll probably play centre forward, and I presume they'll probably drop Wicks or something like that and just go with a one ruck and then Jesse backing up. So, you know what I mean? So that'll help Cloke get off the leash a little bit, and just pretty much like a buddy Tippett scenario, really.
Well, look at their next month. They've got West Coast, St Kilda, then they've got Melbourne, then they've got the Bulldogs. There's four more wins. So they're already in the eight. Well, they've made the finals with 11 wins. And then, as you said, Cloke's looked like a shadow of himself. If he gets anywhere near his best, we know he's a big game player. There's just, and that side bottom in a final, I think he's criminally underrated in this league, because it's Beam, Swan, Pendlebury getting the attention, but he's a gun, I reckon.
Yeah, and they haven't been playing Brown either, which he's an All-Australian. So he'll come back in this week. I presume Keith will probably get dropped, and he'll come in. So that's another... They've got pretty good depth, Collingwood. They've got some good players.
They're on the right track.
Depth players. Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't want to play. I wouldn't want Sydney to play him in the finals. Like,
nah,
not again.
Especially at ANZ. Bugger that.
Now, apart from that, what do you guys actually think of our chances for the rest of the year? How do you see our season playing out?
I think of the top four, the gap between best and worst, ours is the biggest, clearly, so far, because our best is arguably the best football I've seen for the year when we play it, even if it's only just a quarter or so, but our worst is shit ours. And if our midfield, we go as far as the midfield goes, because like I said earlier, I think our defence actually stopped us from being embarrassed by more earlier in the year. And now that the midfielders are doing their job, they're just not under as much pressure anymore. The ruck is, our ruck's abysmal now, but if the midfielder again are doing their job, that doesn't matter. And then if the midfield do their job, Buddy and Tippett can fire. I mean, Tippett's a big monster and Franklin's obviously a superstar, but they're only as good as the delivery down there. So it all comes down to that work rate in the middle. We've been exposed to what happens if they drop off, but if they're up and about, I think we're more than a chance for the flag this year, which we want to be, where, given where our list is at. The next couple of years, we want to try and win at least one flag, I think. I've come a long way from where I was a few weeks ago, where I thought, geez, are we going to make the finals? Thinking, gee, we're a flag chance, but, I mean, you never know. Next 3 weeks are telling. Gold Coast, Cats and Power. If we win all three of those, then I'll have a hard time keeping the excitement levels down.
I think if we win even two out of those three matches, the lid well and truly will be off.
Yep, but if we lost to Geelong and then Gold Coast, the lid will be firmly back on.
Yeah.
We'll fit Tommy Mitchell in pretty quick if we lose the next couple.
Yeah, as you said, I agree. I think with the list we have, the next couple of years are definitely, you know, Buddy and Tippett are only 27, so you build something around them. And obviously, at the start of the year, I think our list was the second or third oldest behind Geelong and Fremantle, but the players that we thought at the start of the year were best 22 are actually running around in their twos. So that says that, you know, it's not the best 22. Like Lewis Robert Thompson was probably best 22 at the start of the year. Ryan O'Keefe was best 22. As harsh as it is, we've got replacements for sure. I honestly think that, like, I don't think he's going to be that big of a loss. I think now with Rowan playing off the halfback flank, you have Biggs, you have Jones. So I don't think I don't think he's going to be a massive loss next year. Same goes with Lewis Robert Thompson. And I know he's a good, and it's all about keeping your best 22 on your park, but LRT's 32 this year, and obviously his best football looks to be behind him at the moment. So we really only have to go out and maybe, you know, get just a backup replacement again. And Ryan O'Keefe, obviously, he's not best 22 with the midfield at the moment, with Bird stepping up, only being 25. Your Parkers, your Tom Mitchell can't even get a game.
Jake Lloyd,
you got Robinson. It's just a lot of, I think it was 9 rookie list of players who played on the weekend. You got Harry Kaneham, who's 20. You've got, as you said, Jake Lloyd, who's 20. And these players,
Parker's only 20.
Yeah, exactly right. So you're definitely going to be up there within the next few years. Obviously, the defence is a little bit different, but Grundy's only 28. Ted Richards at the moment looks to be on, you know, going well. And my only concern is if, touch wood, an injury was to get to Grundy and Richards, the drop off at the moment to the next defender to come in would probably be LRT at this stage. But I'm more concerned at next year, obviously, if LRT retires and say Walsh goes home, something like that, and a drop off would be too big. So I think that, you know, maybe a mature age defender's on the cards for him this year, but obviously they'll take care of that. We've got Alex Johnson coming back, so, and as you said, you take LRT, Reece Shaw, Ryan O'Keefe off the list, and the list is it's a pretty young list, like, and
a list with salary cap room. I mean, I know they get 100,000 veteran list, but I don't think O'Keefe is playing for free. LRT, even Shaw, even Goods, there's 4 players each on at least more than 200,000 being pessimistic, so you can go get a defender or another ruckman, which is our weak areas. But yeah. I don't know if you guys agree. I think the biggest difference the last few weeks is the team actually looks pretty quick. And we've got the right mix of inside, outside.
Yeah, that's what
and,
I reckon.
And pace. Like, that's why I can't slot Tom Mitchell at the moment, because the only players I see whose place he can take are people like Kennedy, Parker, Bird, and they're not anywhere near out of form to drop.
Yeah, well, there was a discussion on the board maybe a month ago that at the start of the year we played so many insiders, and remember we were talking about 10 blokes going for the same ball and you'd get it out and there'd be five GWS players on the spread. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because, say, Bird was playing more inside and Hannabury was playing inside and Tom Keith. Mitchell was in there, O'Keefe was in there. You'd get the ball out and you'd have three, four blokes standing out there just going, yep, thank you very much, see you later.
Storming off.
Yeah, yeah. Storming off. That's why I reckon the mix at the moment, Bird ain't going anywhere, and that's why it's hard for Tom Mitchell, because I know people say, oh, you know, drop him for Lloyd because he had 64 possessions in the twos, but they're totally, when people say that, they're totally different players. At the end of the day, as harsh as it is, Mitchell's not an outsider unless he's worked on his game.
Which he isn't necessarily a pure inside player as well, even coming through to THC.
Yeah,
he'd rack up a heap of the ball, yeah. But he'd kind of be... He'd be around the pack and just getting handballs away. He wouldn't exactly be a pure inside or outside player.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a hybrid.
He's a bit of a hybrid. You know what I mean? That's what I think he brings better. As I said, I've seen him in the twos, and he can play inside and outside. Obviously, at the moment, he's playing off a wing and playing more outside, but he can go get his ball. See, with Tom Mitchell, I think if he plays on the ball or he doesn't play at all, because he's not a forward. Let's be honest, he can't play forward. He doesn't put on a hell of a lot of defensive pressure. He does in when they're around the packs, but to run down someone, and he's not a spready player too. Like, he doesn't spread from the contest like Lloyd and that do, if you know what I mean, and get the outside ball, where Lloyd, when he gets the outside ball, he uses it just as well as anyone in the team. Where Mitchell's a bit sceptical when he gets the ball and kick, you know, let's be honest, he's probably not the greatest kick. If Mitchell was to play, it's either on the ball and as an extractor for a player like Kennedy, Parker, Bird, or he doesn't really get a game, because I just can't see I think the mixture at the moment's been the best it's been all year, and obviously it's shown in the wins.
Well, I think if we win the next three, which is a big if, because they're tough bloody games, then you've got Richmond and the Giants, and if we can win the next three, I think that's where we need to look at giving some of these guys a rest, and that's where Tom Mitchell might get his chance. Where do you give a Kennedy or a Jack a week off just to keep fresh, bearing in mind how flat the midfield looked by the finals last
that
year?
Alternatively, we could almost use Jack. Like, Jack was very, like, we all know how well he is rated as a midfielder, but Jack, when he played against Hawthorn as a small forward, added a different element to our forward line.
Yeah, and
maybe
we
could almost look at using Jack as a half forward flank for the rest of the year to allow us to bring in a player like Mitchell, but really it's up to the coaches.
Yeah, because that's what McLean's done. You know, at the start of the year, we always thought it was a one pace midfield, but McLean's added that, you know, that pace to that midfield now. We're swapping with Kieran Jack forward, and Harry Kaneham's added pace on the outside and a lockdown role. And Lloyd's got a little bit of pace and uses the ball well, so it's sort of, you've got enough, and Hannanbury can do both. Hannanbury plays inside and outside, and he's got, you know, a little bit of leg speed too, so it's probably the right mixture at the moment. That's the best I've seen the midfield sort of working inside and outside since the start of the year.
You look at the team against Essendon, and it's hard. Like, if you said fit Tom Mitchell in, it's just hard to think of who deserves to go, because Brandon Jack goes for me, but Ben McLean takes that spot because he was just sort of keeping the rest of it. And that's where I get concerned about Goods, because he's almost the worst performed player in the team over the last few weeks, as harsh as that probably sounds. But, and yeah, I mean, you wouldn't bring Tom Mitchell in for him, but I'm not sure what Goods' role in the team is at the moment.
Yeah, and with Lloyd, the full games he's played, he's had over 20 possessions. And he goes at about 80% by foot. And he's actually, for his size, I don't know if you noticed, he's a good contested mark too. He takes a strong mark.
Oh, shit. Him and Cunningham,
yeah,
both
do. For their size, they take good marks. And I don't know, I reckon it'd be a bit stiff if you went to drop a player that just had 22 possessions and and, you know, and the way he played on the weekend, I reckon, yeah, I'd have to say that was a bit stiff. And also, if they do bring in Mitchell for Lloyd, obviously Ben McGlynn will come in for Brandon Jack, obviously, and either that means Lloyd or whichever Lloyd or Mitchell, whoever plays, is going to be sub. I don't think Mitchell's a sub player.
No.
And they're not going to make Goods. Yeah, that's what I mean. And Goods isn't a... And I don't think they're going to make... I think they want to try and get as much game time into Goods as they want. So I think that Goods will always... is going to start from now on. So if Lloyd... If Mitchell comes in for Lloyd, that means Mitchell's probably 80% going to be sub. And I don't really think he's a sub impact player, is he?
No, he isn't. He has never really performed well as a sub. Unless you count his first game, where he came on halfway through the second quarter.
Against
Essendon.
Yeah. But, I mean, the other thing that impresses me about Lloyd is...
I think Lloyd has more of an impact being a sub.
Lloyd gets involved in a lot of goals. Like I think he's got quite a few goal assists. I don't know the stat, but it feels like he's involved in a lot of
scoring. There was a couple of awesome kicks on the week, and he did tip it. Tippett just couldn't quite get there, but you couldn't ask for a better kick, if you know what I mean. Like, he put him straight out in front of him, you know what I mean, a couple of times. He uses the ball extremely well, and as you said, it's only his third game, and he's only going to get better at time. And there's a couple of occasions where it was a little bit quick, but he's only going to get better with time. I actually rate him. I reckon he's not a bad player. He's good.
I reckon he's a really good player. I think Tom Mitchell's time will come, but it just might not be in 2014, unfortunately, for Tom.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think next year is going to be starting. If he gets his opportunity this year and takes it with both hands, fingers crossed. Until then, unfortunately, I can't quite see him getting a spot in our squad right now unless an injury makes way.
Yeah, but I mean, form can turn. As I said, we lose the next three, I'm sure we'll be able to suggest someone to go out for Tom Mitchell. So, time will tell.
Time will definitely tell. Anyways, guys, we're going to call it a night there. We're going to have our second part to this week's podcast on Sunday night. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good evening.